You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, produced by Shway Media, brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We are your friendly neighborhood show where we drink cold beverages and we talk about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Every week we'll be giving you an in-depth look into everything that the Cowboys are doing and what we can expect from the Cowboys. My name is Michael Sizemore. I've been following and writing about the Cowboys for many years and currently contribute to Blogging the Boys. You may follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore, follow the podcast at Brews and the Boys, and at Blogging the Boys. With me as always, he's the man of the hour. It feels like every other week we're sour. Folks, my colleague at Blogging the Boys and the Walter Math out of my Jack Lemon, Mr. Tom Ryle.
Yay.
Yay, yay, yay. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Ryle, BTB. So let's get down to it. The Cowboys lose last night to the Texans, and they lose 19-16 in overtime. And right off the bat, I got to ask, what is your take on the 4th-and-1 choice to punt the ball?
Lost the game right there.
Yeah.
It really made than the fact that the defense had been playing just as hard as they could. They'd made some mistakes. They were having a terrible problem again with a passer who, under great pressure, was still dropping dimes all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
And to put it back on them in a situation, you know, you couldn't gain that much. You're at the 42, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a chance, you know, you're giving up maybe 40 yards of field position, probably considerably less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they should have gone for it. They were having trouble on short yardage situations, but yeah, there comes a time when you have to do something. And I think that was just missed a chance. They may have failed to convert and then gone on to lose the game. But as I think Brian Broaddus observed, he'd rather lose the game that way, and I feel the same.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. I feel the same way there. 4th-and-1 at the 42, but I have different reasons, and here they are. First off, right before the halftime, the Cowboys went for it on 4th-and-1 from the Texans 41, and mm-hmm. they got it. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, when they're facing an overtime here and you're at the 42 and you know that, listen, this is one of the most explosive offenses the Cowboys have faced, regardless if they ever are winning or not. The Lions were having trouble winning too when they came in and played the mm-hmm. Cowboys. They are explosive on offense. They have a number one receiver, a very clear number one receiver,
yes,
that made himself known during this game. You put the ball back into their hands, you basically are daring them to beat you, and that's exactly what they did. Because you talk about that 4th-and-1, I can understand how folks are saying, well, you know, you play the percentages and your defense has been so good all night that they should be able to, you know, get you the ball back. Well, if you're getting the ball back, you might, with the way that they were able to move on the defense, you're talking about playing for a tie. And mm-hmm. and I get that now. I get what Frank Reich was talking about last week, and I understand what he's talking about there, because you punt it back, and that's fine. If you would rather take the tie now, everyone would rather take the tie now in hindsight. But on 4th-and-1, this team, and I'm going to let you go into it, Tom, is this is what you built this team to do.
Exactly. You've got this highly paid offensive line, even though you're playing with a backup and a rookie side by side, which was an issue, I think, in particular this game. But still, this is your identity. You've got that the best running back in the NFL, even though he's been having a bad game. But go with your, you know, maybe motion some people out. Don't bring people into the box. Get them away, and then see what happens. Maybe go with an option run from Dak. You know, do something a little unexpected and try to get wide on him. It was just very frustrating in a very frustrating game.
Yeah, you know, like I hear, you know, fans that, you know, don't mix it up like we do here with this stuff every single week, they'll look at this game and say, man, was that a great game? When the rest of us will look at this game and say, no. That was a terrible game. And in fact, Jason Garrett has been on the hot seat for the whole year, start of the season anyway. But his seat gets hotter, and you actually did something that I thought nobody could do, and that's make Bill O'Brien look like the smarter coach, and he really wasn't. He put his quarterback in danger all night long. They were destroying him, and he continuously down in the red zone designed quarterback runs to try to get into the end zone, and it didn't work.
Out of the shotgun.
Yeah, out of the shotgun. They were 1 of 5 in the red zone, 20%. Yes. The Cowboys defense held them to 20%. Before this game, the Cowboys defense was giving touchdowns on 54.5% of red zone trips. This time, they weren't. They were not giving it up. And it just feels, and like I wrote in my little tweet recap, you wasted such a good effort from a defense to fall to 2-3 like you did last year around the same time.
Yeah. Now, the flip side of it, I have to say, is that if you go back in and look at the game, Dallas should not have been in overtime in the first place. They should have ended regulation down at least a couple of scores.
Oh, yeah. But
they got outplayed all over the place. It was basically O'Brien's strange play calling down in the red zone that even kept them in the game. That and just, you know, some really key placement of some defensive plays, like the interception.
They just kept pulling
something out at the last second. But then to have it where you've got a chance to really steal a game you don't deserve to win, and to punt it away and put the initiative back in the other team's hands, just mystifying. One of those calls that you just have to look at Jason Garrett and say, you know, this is on you. Why did you do this? And
absolutely.
He is doubling down on it in all the interviews, apparently, too.
Yeah, he has. And that's a problem, because, you know, you look at these two teams too, the Texans and Cowboys, they're going through a lot of the same thing. Like they're having a lot of the same problems. And another reason I have a problem with that, just that 4th-and-1, and we go back to it, but we have to, is because you made a decision to cut your all-time leading kicker by watching him in that same stadium a month ago, or, you know, in August, late August, kick a 57-yard field goal. I'm not saying you go for the 60 right there, but you're talking about being at the 42. If you can get that first down and you can maybe get 6 more yards, maybe 5 more yards, you're talking
plus,
about, yeah.
Plus bleed some time off the clock.
Yes, plus bleed time off the clock. You're giving Brett Maher a chance to make it. And if he doesn't, there's no time on the clock anyway, so you're probably going to tie. If he doesn't get it, you know, you're bleeding time off the clock, and you're probably not going to give Houston enough time to go down and score and beat you. But by not just giving it a shot, you basically showed your team what your team is built around. You showed that you didn't have faith in them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just all around a call that you should question. And they should have had that figured out. You know, there's all kinds of analytics. And I think what happened, they flinched at what had happened on short yardage runs all that game, how many times they'd gotten stuffed. How the Texans were coming in with linebackers and just stopping the run.
Yeah.
And I think it was a case of coaching scared. And coaching scared almost always winds up on the short end of the scoreboard.
When you coach not to lose, you often lose. That's what happens. And when you coach like that conservatively, that is what happens. And you know, you got to mention it now, because as of last night, when they converted that, converted their fourth down, I think Dak and Zeke together are 18 of 19 on fourth and ones.
Yes.
A 94.7. So basically 95 percentile.
Yes.
And you chose the 5%.
Yeah. Play the odds. It's just like, you can, no matter how you come at it, it's just like, why did you do that? It obviously turned out to be the wrong decision in hindsight, but going into it, just, you know, you just felt when they punted away, you just got a sinking feeling that they weren't going to be able to get a stop. You know,
that's calling dare. Like when you dare somebody to beat you like that, and they have a number one receiver and they are explosive like that, Tom, that goes back to what I'm saying. They beat you because you took one too many chances there. With your defense, you instead of bailing your defense out, you know, the first rule of overtime is you don't want to see the opposition with the ball. You just don't want to see them with the ball.
And they might have gotten a touchdown out of it and just put it away right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you don't know, just all the unknowns. And we just know that the outcome turned out bad. So that was very frustrating.
Yeah, and it started from the beginning when they, you know, they're moving the ball, you know, in the first quarter, they're moving the ball. They get, you know, a nice Deontay Thompson for 11, and then you got Swaim running off, you know, Jeff Swaim running for 43 yards on a screen. But then they started stalling, and I remember just thinking about, you can't, with an offense like this, you cannot trade field goals for touchdowns. You got to figure it out in the red zone, and because we had talked about last week, we had given the audience, we had told them that last week that the Houston defense was allowing 79%, you know, completion percentage in the red zone, conversion percentage in the red zone. In fact, I looked it up today. They allowed, out of the 16 times guys have, or other teams, their opponent has gotten down into the red zone, they have allowed 11 touchdowns.
So out of that. Turn around and look at it. What does that scream at you? Dallas has a huge offensive problem.
Yeah. They were 1-2 in the red zone, 50%. New York Giants went 4-4 on them. The Colts went, you know, 4-4 as well. The Cowboys defense held Texans, like we said, to 20% in the red zone, stopped them three times on you know, goal line stands, and gave up huge plays. You're talking about, they gave up three first downs because of penalties, and they still stopped them.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's bad because you don't see that these are the kind of problems that you can scrub up and get cleared up in a week of practice.
Oh, no.
You've got Dak's mechanics were just breaking down all over the place. He was making bad throws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first interception. You know,
I'm glad
you can,
you're getting
argue,
into this, because I wanted to talk. Let's talk about Dak. Let's move to Dak here.
Yeah, because I just did a post that I think just went up about it. Babe Laufenberg put up a screenshot that shows that ball was just barely grazing to Tavon Austin's fingertips. Now, Austin may have had a little problem with his route running, but why are you putting the ball up that high on one of the shortest guys on your team?
Yeah, I mean, and I know that he's got a really good vertical, because that's, you know, he was drafted in the first round. I understand that. I think the ball was a little high, but I do also think that was on. I do think that Tavon takes some fault in there too, because one, if that sails and you don't think that there's any catchable way or any way to catch that ball and it sails over you, then okay. But you tip that thing right up in the air, and that's like, it just was so devastating to watch.
Yeah, but you know, the instinct is the receiver's going to go after the ball.
Yeah, I know.
And he was. The thing is, if Dak could have dropped it 2 feet or a foot and given Austin a good shot at it where he didn't have to break stride, that could have gone all the way.
No, he could have.
You know,
Rico's catch could have gone much further.
Yeah,
if he would have thrown him in stride.
Yeah, and we've spent 2 weeks watching quarterbacks just drop balls, you know, into coffee cans.
Yeah.
You know, just putting them right there where they just barely fit in. You can't defend them. And meanwhile, Dak is kind of throwing into a 5x5 square and hoping the receiver can get somewhere in there and grab the ball.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I definitely don't want to give these receivers a pass, because I do want to talk about that. I'm going to write about that,
yeah,
too. But, I mean,
they did not have a good game.
No, they did not have a good game. And they did, as much as, like, we're ragging on Dak right now for some ball placement issues, they didn't help him at all.
Yeah, Deontay Thompson and Taylor both dropped balls that should have converted third downs.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And Gallup too did, you know, didn't turn on one that just sailed, yeah. And like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. It's maddening, because it's hard to solve the problems, because they're not discrete problems. They all play off of one another.
Yeah.
You know, your quarterback's not accurate. The receivers aren't making catches when they do get their hands on the ball. The offensive line is letting too much pressure get through to the quarterback, which messes up mechanics, which contributes to all that. The play calling is questionable. There was one play that just drove me nuts late in the game. I think it might have been right inside the two-minute warning and regulation when they did a double fake. Well, okay, that takes time. So Dak goes back there, makes a double fake, turns around, and there's a Houston defenders just closing in on him because they've had time to do it, and they're just ignoring everything else and coming after him.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you want to walk over and whap Scott Linehan on the back of the head and say, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. And then that pass that he completed to Tavon Austin, the Romo, yeah, Dini thing that he had, he had in the midst of one of the worst offensive performances, he had one of his best plays he's ever made.
Yeah, it was, but he's had to do anything, the Cowboys are having to rely on that kind of thing too often, you know,
yeah,
where it's Dax improvisation. And, you know, they need to be working more on quick openers, get the ball out, get stuff going to get the ball moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get down the field, take some shots, try to open things up, try to help your running game. It's just, but it's all just a big ball of string and all kinds of knots. And, you know, you got to figure out how to straighten it out. And it's not going well. You know, they're doing this thing of, you know, bad game, okay, a bit better, bad game, okay, pretty good game, bad game. And, you know,
yeah, coming off one of their best performances against the Lions, they had
we had a lot of hope. Yeah. All they had to do was get something on track, and poof, it just all went away. And now they're facing another team with a, you know, a really good pass rusher, some really good linebackers, and gee, guess what? That's the formula for stopping the Dallas offense right there.
Yeah, and you know what? The formula for stopping the Dallas offense, before we go to break, the formula for stopping the Dallas offense is not very hard, because it's the truest of things. Ezekiel Elliott, you stop 21, you stop the offense.
Yes.
They don't have the ability to get themselves out. They don't have, you know, I heard Nick Eatman say this today, and I agree with him. He said that he wouldn't name the coach, obviously, the assistant coach. He wouldn't name this person because he doesn't want to, you know, get himself in trouble there. But he just said, an assistant coach told me last night after I talked to him about this game, he said, we don't have receivers that win. They don't win. They just don't win. They can't win. And when they scheme them to win some things, they make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can't win against a Texans defense that was giving up almost 400 passing yards a game, that is pitiful.
Yeah, and now you're going out there, you're throwing against Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
You know,
Barry Church.
Yeah, old friend of the Cowboys, Barry Church out there. You think he's not going to be looking to show him up a little bit?
Yeah, and who that corner they got from the Texas, Bouye?
Yeah,
whatever.
And they got Tyler Patman too. You know, he's another guy that might have a long memory. So,
yeah,
it's either going to be very ugly or we're going to be very shocked. The only other hope they have is just with now that it looks like Fournette is out, he mm-hmm. has been confirmed as being out, is that maybe things just go really bad on offense for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is what happened to them this past game. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, are we going to see really bad Bortles 2 weeks in a row? Be nice if they did, and maybe the defense could put a few points up and take some pressure off and buy it some.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the Cowboys' 19-16 overtime loss to the Texans and their upcoming matchup with the Jaguars and what last night's loss means. We'll be right back on the Brewers and the Boys podcast. And we are back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. Cowboys lose last night to the Texans in overtime on a really dumb 4th-and-1 deciding to punt situation that ended up getting them beat. They lose 19-16. Let's talk about, we started talking about the Jaguars just a little bit before we went to break, but let's wrap a few things up here. Let's talk about the NFC East. Every team in the NFC East lost, and then the Cowboys also will be waiting the results of Monday Night Football's Saints and Redskins game. But it just seems, you look around at the standings, that the Cowboys are still somehow relevant in their division, even though you just don't get the feeling that they can creep themselves out of more than 8-8 right now. It just seems like they're going to win, lose, like you said.
Yeah. Oddly enough, they're playing better at home than they are on the road, which is the first time in forever you can say that.
Yeah.
And it's going to just be really, it's going to be a really tough challenge to see what happens in this game. Because we keep having these things. Another thing that was very frustrating in the Texan game is that whenever the Cowboys go up against a team that's got a suspect offensive line,
can't take advantage of it.
Yeah, it seems like that they suddenly figure out how to play like Pro Bowlers and keep them off their quarterback. Although Watson he was getting beaten up. He took 10 quarterback hits. You know, they were just getting to him just a tick late. It was just that ability of his to get the ball out under pressure and find his target that, you know, the Cowboys just don't have.
Yeah, and they were trying to hit him on it. They were sending 5, even though they knew that they weren't always going to get to him. Yeah. They were still sending him because they wanted to hit him every single time.
Yeah, and got 5 hits himself just up the middle. So they were putting pressure on him from all over. It's just they couldn't close the deal.
Yeah, and his coach is getting massacred today for the win because everyone is looking at it and saying you won off of the Cowboys making just one more mistake than you did, but you really could get your quarterback killed playing like that.
Yes, and that could happen. You know, it's he's got the obvious injury history, so it may be one of those Pyrrhic victories for them that you don't know how long it could be before this might come back to haunt them.
Yeah, he's kind of going through what Russell Wilson went through.
Yeah, but you know, that's kind of in the past, and now we got to figure out how do they get a win first, and then how do they string a couple together? Because like you said, this is looking like it could be an 8-8 year, but man, is the NFC East a division that really win it?
Yeah, and you know what, Tom? Last year, the Cowboys were 2-3. I realized that they were scoring points on offense and everything, but their defense wasn't as good as it is right now.
Yeah.
And also, last year, there were so many times when this season should have been way worse, like a 6-10, 7-9 season, and they ended up eking out 9 wins and missing the playoffs by a game. But what gets me about this, what makes me have like less faith in that is that I don't think that the Cowboys, like I know it's very popular for everybody online to just, you know, talk about Dez Bryant and how they need Dez Bryant back in the game. I don't necessarily think Dez Bryant does much for them, but I do agree that if he were on the team, sure, he'd be the number one receiver, but does that really say much about this team?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how effective he would be, because I don't know if he'd still be playing as the same player.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's not the same player, Tom. He's just not. And, you know, he went on Twitter last night after the game and told everybody how he wanted to, you know, become, you know, like how Jerry needed, if he needed a number one receiver, he's right there. Look, do not look in the mirror right now and think that you're DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. And it's, and I don't see the team just, that would be just such an admission of making a mistake, I think.
And what that, he did on social media and stuff, that's not going to help that situation.
But. Yeah. I think that is water under the bridge. So the wide receiver cupboard is what it is. You're not going to go out and find somebody new to add to it that can really help. You've got to work with what you've got, which means the players have to come up with more.
Yes.
You know, I thought Sanjay Law was going to get a lot more out of this than he has. And it's.
But last night you talk about, like, we can talk about the picks and stuff, but you had to talk about the drops.
Yeah.
You got to talk about Deontay Thompson. He had one of the, like, just the worst games that I, you know, as a Cowboy for sure. It seemed like the only guy that really had much of a good game as a receiver was Allen Hurns, because he got the touchdown. But even that, he was not really that present in this game.
It's his only catch.
Yeah, it was his only catch. So you look at that and you just say, man, this team just, they don't know how to get out of their own way. And the receivers are just, I'm writing about this right now, and it's a little bit of a spoiler alert, but they have surrounded an average quarterback, which is that's what he is right now, folks. He's an average quarterback, and that's not saying that he's bad, that he's terrible. It's just that he is not, you know, this all-pro, just wonderful, you know, quarterback that we saw as a rookie year, because one, he's not getting the protection he got then, and two, he's just not developed into that. You surrounded an average quarterback with even more average receivers.
Average may be generous.
Average, yeah, below average.
Hate to throw it out there, but yeah, you may have more below average receivers.
Well, Tom, now you're just being mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what can you say? The only guy that is showing some steady improvement and some promise for the future is Jeff Swain.
Yeah. And he can only do so much.
Yeah, but he does. It seems like now he's getting at least one really good play every game. But you can't focus on him because he's really not in a position, or I don't think he's capable of really carrying that much of a load. He's not going to be another Gronk, but he's making you feel like not having Witten is maybe not as terrible as you thought, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to go out there and try to throw it a few more times to Rico? I mean, he showed he can catch the ball, but that was largely because the defense didn't really take him seriously on that play and wound up paying for it. So,
yeah, you look at the receiving, and you said Jeff Swaim, and you're right here. Jeff Swaim caught 3 of 3 for 55 yards and had that long 43-yarder, so that's most of it. But, you know, Zeke had 7 for 7. But when you're talking about the receivers, Tom, Tavon had 3 targets, and the only ball he caught was that last-second flip by Dak Prescott deep downfield to get something going. Rico was only brought in to the game very seldomly, and he was never used in the goal line or anything like that. He got that 132-yard catch, and that was it. Deontay Thompson had 4 targets, only caught 2 of them. Dropped some. You know, Blake Jarwin had his first catch, which was another just, oh, thank God we got a conversion here. And everyone was like, well, where's Cole Beasley? Cole Beasley's missing. The Texans did a pretty good job on Cole Beasley. And Cole Beasley had 3 targets and only caught 1.
And they were covering him tight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably figure that they're going to tell Jalen Ramsey, take him out of the game.
Yeah, because what they do, Tom, is they go to the receivers and they say, you know, this is not a huge challenge for us. If it's not a challenge for the Texans secondary, it's definitely not going to be a challenge for the Jaguars secondary. Nope. And It's because every single ball that Dak is throwing to these guys is contested. Every single one, because none of them are really getting any, like, you know, Alan Hearns said, oh, well, we're getting separation. No, we're getting separation. You're really not, though.
Yeah. And I'm not a go back and look at the video thing, but just the results speak for themselves. Now, yes, there was at least one play where I think on the replay it was pretty clear that Dak had a good shot at hitting Beasley, but he stuck with the screen pass that was called to Elliott. And is that on his vision? Is that on his unwillingness to deviate from the plan because he doesn't have enough confidence? Is that on the coaches for not giving him the free? I don't know, but
I mean, once again, are you talking about the screen pass that was like on a 3rd and 2 from the Texans' 8 yard line one?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, it looked like he had
took
Beasley.
Way too long, and then
And it looked like Beasley had a shot at least getting it down inside the 5 and maybe going into the end zone.
We're talking about the screen that Zeke got hit for a loss, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Where first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, purely executed and just
it's
man.
Yeah, it's like so when they got down there, Tom. It's like when they get down to the red zone, that they just froze. They would just freeze up and just start doing stupid things. And you know, we can't go away from this game without mentioning the penalties. Gregory getting that penalty, that's a free first down. The pass interference to Byron Jones, I don't really know about that one, but whatever. Yeah. They gave it to him, so that's it. But you talk about the Xavier Woods hit. That I don't know how he plays it any other way. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, that's part of the way the rules are. It's tilted so far in favor of the offense. And there was a holding call that wiped out when Dallas looked like they were going to get 2 first downs, just bang, bang. And then a holding call wiped out the second. It was another Zeke run, one of his few good runs. That was I was looking at that, and they showed it. Yeah, I'm like, where? What's the holding?
Yeah.
Of course, I had problems. I just about lost it when in a way of just dying in hysterics when Collinsworth says, man, I'd really go with a hard count here if I was Dak. And I'm going like, they're running the silent count because of the stadium noise, you idiot.
Yeah.
You can't do a hard count on a silent count.
Yeah, you know, realistically, on a lot of games have been lost for different reasons. Like, you can talk about some of these, you know, the Cowboys have lost 3 games, and you can talk about Dak having some, you know, problems, some issues in some of them. But it goes back to me saying again, you surrounded an average quarterback with below average receivers, and that you're getting that from them, because if you're like Brian Broaddus was really upset about, you know, Dak trying to deliver that ball to Tavon on the interception and stuff like that. But Tavon Austin, he said that, you know, he had kind of plenty of room to navigate that, but he also, you know, Prescott had that little problem that you had mentioned, but he was talking about the receivers and not doing enough for Dak in this game, because he said your quarterback was taking hits to the chest, you know, like getting busted up, and you're not repaying him for any of it.
Yeah. He was talking, I think specifically he was talking about the drop that Tavon had.
Yeah.
When he came down, got both feet in, and then couldn't hang on to the ball going to the ground. All he had to do was just hold it to his chest.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, just, he also mentioned the Deontay drop. That was a similar situation where it would have converted. He just didn't hang on to the ball.
Yeah. You know, so we can talk. Let's move on now, because we kind of put this loss into the rearview mirror, and we're going to get out of here. And they have a long time to stew on this loss. They have 7 days before they got to play again. They play on the 14th. Against the Jaguars. The Jaguars lost yesterday to the Kansas City Chiefs. They got, you know, they got their butts whooped. It was like 30, you know, 30 something to, or I think, it was like 30-14 is what it was. But like you said, Tom, you know, that's the Chiefs there. That's a high-powered offense.
Patrick Mahomes playing out of his skull.
Out of his mind, you know, that's not what this offense is.
Yeah, holding him to 30 points may be something of an accomplishment.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand that Jerry went out and said that, you know, we're a little bit like the Rams. Okay, if you say anything that you're about the Chiefs, then you need to go have your mind checked. Like, seriously, have your vision checked, because you're not like the Chiefs.
There are times when Jerry just needs to quit talking for a while, let's face it.
Yeah, exactly. They got the Jaguars, you know, they got the Jaguars next, and it's not going to get easier for them. They're only in this because, like we said, the NFC East is just bad. I mean, it's pretty bad all around. But if the Redskins somehow pull it out against the Saints, then they are sitting at the top, you know, number one. And, you know, the Eagles got terrible news today. Jay Ajayi out for the season, ACL. Yep. You know, so it's not getting better there. The Giants are imploding inside because the receivers are just basically calling Eli Manning what he is, and that is not good enough to be the quarterback here anymore.
And meanwhile, they're getting rid of one of their starting tackles, which they should have probably done 2 years ago.
Gosh, they should have got rid of him the night of the draft. But, you know, they should have traded him while people still thought he was okay. So, but, you know, the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'll let you have the final say here. It's just perplexing to me because in this game especially, like I said, you literally gave the second most explosive offense in the NFL the dagger that stuck you.
Yep.
And
that's perfectly put. You know, here's the weapon. Here's the ball. Go hurt us. And they promptly did, you know. And, you know, of course, Hopkins made that, you know, spectacular catch and run where he just basically was breaking every tackle out there. And it just, you know, it was something you kind of felt coming because they've been hanging on by their fingernails. And, you know, that ain't going to hack it. They've got to either find something offensively or just settle for the fact that this is going to be a bad season, get through it, see what the Joneses decide to do about the coaching staff, and then go on for next year. And if, you know, 5 weeks in, we're talking. And, you know,
we're starting to get a good idea of what this team is at this point.
Yeah. After the first game, we overreacted.
Yeah.
After the third game, well, yeah, that was a bit of an overreaction. But now the evidence is starting to pile up that these guys, there are just certain situations they can't handle. And unfortunately, if you're looking at their biggest challenge being a strong pass rush with good linebackers to back it up so that they can stop Zeke Elliott while still coming after the passer, look at their next six games. And I think five of the six games, that's kind of exactly what they're walking into, is strong defenses. And they are not a team that can handle a good defense.
Nope. And, you know, I'll leave it on what Jason Garrett said last week after they went for it and beat Detroit on that 4th-and-1. He said, when you have a belief in the guys up front and you can hand the ball to number 21 and you feel good about that, that's really where the decision-making process starts. So when Jason Garrett decided to punt that ball away and punt the opportunity to even try to win this game, that is going to sit heavily on him through this season, depending on how these things turn out, because that right there, it doesn't matter what side people fall on this, he's going to get criticized for that because it showed no guts and no belief in your team. And yep. Tom, do you have any last words before we get out of here today?
Well, Garrett's making the case for maybe he's not the guy to have out there. So, you know, unless they can turn it around, and there's still enough time to turn it around. It's just trying to find reason to believe it's going to happen is getting harder and harder.
Yeah. It's not like last year when Zeke's out six games, you think getting him back's going to, you got something to look forward to. Right now, it's getting harder and harder, like you said. So we want to thank you guys for listening. This has been the Brewers and the Boys podcast, an official podcast of Blogging the Boys and SB Nation through the Vox Media Podcast Network and Shway Media. Look out for Apple and Android links on any of our social media platforms. Please remember to leave us a review in iTunes. It does help us out a ton and enables us to bring you the best shows possible. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Brews and the Boys. Follow him at Tom Ryle BTB and me at Mr. Sizemore. Keep checking Blogging the Boys for all the updates on all things Dallas Cowboys. Have a great night, Cowboys Nation, and mourn the loss because it might get worse. I'm just kidding. Good night, guys.
Brews and the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit brewsandtheboys.com.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission, or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.